The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So Jesus said, 'It is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, my baby brother, Chip, is now a productive member of society with a family and a home and a good job. He was not so productive when we were younger. In fact, Chip used to have this really interesting routine when we'd go shopping as a family. He'd usually have his small amount of cash acquired from losing teeth or having a birthday, and we'd spread out in the store, and when we decided what our purchases were, we'd come back together at the cashier, and we'd check out. Now, Chip always seemed to find himself at the register with his items, and after they had rung everything up, he'd turn to me with this panicked look on his face and say, "Mary, I'm not sure I have enough for the tax. Can you help me?" Now, as a loving big sister who loves to help people, I would often step in and hand him one of my hard-earned tooth dollars and say, "Here you go, baby brother, I got you." Now, I never asked for anything in return, because when you're young like that, a few dollars circulating around your family house isn't a lot, and it's just your sort of kid income. You have these dollars that float based on really important accomplishments like losing teeth or being born. But I will never forget the day that I discovered my sweet baby brother was a swindler. I just handed him the dollar at the store to cover the tax of his purchase, and we walked out of the store, bags in hand, ready to head to the car, and I suddenly realized that my baby brother is not right next to me. So I turn to see Chip putting a dollar in the pop machine. That little snake. I am enraged. I march myself back to him and I say, "What are you doing? I just lent you a dollar because you said you didn't have it, and now you're buying a pop out of a pop machine? Where did that dollar come from?" I can remember the smell of that shopping mall. I can remember the feel of the yellow plastic bags in my hand, and I can feel the rage of watching that little punk crack open a cold can of pop with his own dollar. After sputtering out all of my distress over Chip's purchase, he looks at me and, without skipping a beat, says, "Well, I had enough money, I just didn't want to break the dollar." He had enough money, but he didn't want to break his dollar. He would rather give the cashier $6 for his $6.36 purchase rather than $7 and be left with the change. The rage of injustice that coursed through my veins was palpable. And if you have a little brother or a little sister, you know the feeling, right? There is injustice that abounds when you have younger siblings. I wanted to strangle him. He was so convinced and entitled that he shouldn't have to break his dollar and that it was more important than me keeping my money for myself. And I was a saver as a kid, So this was a big deal. Like, I was a kid who, like, shoved money in stuffed animals and, like, hid it in books to the point where people stopped giving me money for birthdays because they knew I wouldn't spend it. It would just hide in little devices in my room. And while Chip is now a well-adjusted, grown adult who has a good job and owns his home and takes care of his family, I still remember that sneaky little brother. And when he was more concerned with his needs than mine. And he was more concerned than him having nice, neat, even dollars than change. And he was more concerned with his dishonesty than truth because he didn't tell me what he was doing. He wasn't honest about what he was doing. And he was a greedy little jerk whose dollar, whose dollar should go in a bigger barn. But truthfully, so was I. And so am I. The story of the man who wants to build a bigger barn always makes it into our scripture rotation because it's a classic Jesus parable. It has a life lesson for all of us who hear it. And while, as usual, I would love to claim my role as the just most just Jesus follower who understands everything, I need this reminder that my humanness is coming around. Because while, yes, Chip's childhood antics were dishonest and selfish, I have held on to this memory for more than half of my lifetime now. Right? Like, I am still irritated. And I have been paying much more in taxes for many more years than that 36 cents. I have lived a lot of places and done a lot of things, and yet I remember this clear rage of how my brother took advantage of my generosity, not just once or twice, but multiple times. And I remember this. Which means that I have spent my years, my memories, my interactions with a much older little brother remembering this. And it means that despite all the other awesome things that he has done or how much I appreciate him in my life, I have built a bigger barn to hold my hurt and frustration against him. I have built a bigger structure that has a special shelf with a special box with a nicely labeled front that can easily be read that says, "Chip asks for tax money and then buys a pop." And in this barn, I have built more and more shelves and more boxes of ways in which Chip and others have hurt me or somehow inconvenienced me. Now, while Jesus talks about the man wanting to build a bigger barn for his crops, for his stuff, for himself, and we equate that to money, we love to build bigger barns for all sorts of things. Certainly money, and literally bigger barns and sheds to hold all of our belongings. I mean, I've had to park outside of my garage all summer because I have too many toys in my garage and stuff going on. I become that person that can't even park in her garage. But it's not just stuff, and it's not just money. Jesus has been warning us against bigger barns to hoard all of it, to keep all of what we have been given so tight and so close that nobody can access it and that we don't let it go. For me, my barn holds a few shelves of indignant rage of those who have wronged me in the past, but it also holds what I am not willing to share with the world, not only money, but the other parts of who I am. Now, every Sunday, we invite folks to share in the offering, which typically feels like a time in a church where the pastor is hustling you for your hard-earned cash to put it in a plate or basket and move it along. And yes, it's about the physical money that you have earned and that you choose to share with this particular church family. To do things like keep the lights on and pay for technology, buy supplies for vacation Bible school, and pay for my salary. But offering is also a time to consider not only what our money is doing, the actual finances in our life, but the rest of who we are and what we're doing with that. And in church speak, this means our time, our talents, and our treasures. Our time, the physical time in our lives to do stuff. Our talents, the things that we're good at or we like to do. And treasures, the monetary value of our lives. Now, that gold plate that passes around won't hold all that you have to offer of your time and your talents. But it is a reminder of this parable that Jesus pushes back and says, hey, rather than build a bigger barn, what about who you are and what you have? Are you willing to share? Are you willing to invest in your shared community? Are you willing to bring to the table for all? Now, tomorrow we start Vacation Bible School, and so this is an easy example to lift up. Now, yes, dollars in the plate are what's going to buy the supplies, right? And some of you have signed up to bring things like Mod Podge and ketchup and hot dogs. But we also need people who have time, who are going to show up and love on our kids, to teach and play with them, to encourage these wild little people as they learn about God's love for them in the world. We need families and friends who are going to coordinate and get them physically here. We also need talents in the plate, people who have skills around crafts and who can play games and who can sing songs to teach the stories to these young ones. And some of us can only offer one of those three. I'm at a point in my life where it is much easier for me to give you my time and my energy than maybe my money. But then again, I do have more than a dollar floating around, and I don't have a little brother tricking me into my tax change anymore. When Jesus speaks of the rich man, he is inviting everyone who hears the story to take stock of what you have and to consider our choice as individuals in light of our community, whatever you define as your community. Rather than hide away and build a bigger space for all that I've earned with my money and my talents and my time, how can I share how to build up my community to make this church a place where children can learn and grow, to make this town a place where elders are safe and can access what they need to age, to make this world a place where all can thrive? Not for the sake of my individual success, but for our life together. Now, I'm going to give you homework that we're going to do together, so don't worry. But I'm going to make you interact. And some of you are first-time visitors, and I apologize if this feels overwhelming to you. It always seems to happen when we have first-time visitors, when Pastor Meredith does something real squirrely. But what I want you to do is when we pass the plate today, later in the service, I added some scraps of paper on the ends of the pews. You can use part of your bulletin, whatever it is. And I want you to write just something, it doesn't have to be an essay, of what you gift to those outside of yourself. Whether that's your time or your talents. And it may be something that doesn't feel like a big deal, like, well, I'm going to pray for people who are homebound, right? That's your time. That's your talents. It may be something like, I'm going to show up for VBS, or I'm going to love on that neighbor who drives me insane, right? Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be about this church. It doesn't have to be about this town. But some part of who you are is sharing to put into that plate. Does that make sense? Okay, so you can do that at some point while we're singing or whatever else. It's okay. I'm telling you, you can be distracted during the service, right? And when that plate gets passed, put those scraps of paper, and whoever counts the offering, if we can just make a pile of that, and then we'll share that in some way, okay? So that's your assignment. That's not homework. You have to do it here, right? There's some extra paper. But what I'd like, and if you're worshiping virtually, you can type it into the chat if you feel comfortable, or if it's something that you don't necessarily want public attached with your name, you can put it on a piece of paper and put it on your refrigerator, okay? So I ask that you think about what you have to offer, and everybody has something to offer. So again, this is not just, well, I've got $1 million to give Pastor Meredith. No, that's not what this is about. But this is, what do you have to build up your community? And you define your community, right? That's not one answer coming from me. I want you to envision that it's more than your dollars and coins, but it's your time and talents that can't be locked up in a bigger barn, but it's brought to the table where all may be fed, loved, and welcomed in the name of Jesus Christ. I put my talents, treasures, and time into the plate so that we will continue to grow together. It's not only about me and my needs, but it's about how we can build up the world that God has given us. We share what was first given to us. And so how will you share of yourself, of today, of tomorrow, of this month? How will you take what God has already made in you, and rather than hide it away in a garage or a shed or a big barn, how will you share it with the world? That is our challenge and our mission as followers of Christ this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.